Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 15 this morning, and we continue our study in the Gospel of John with a very deep and important passage of Scripture. We're going to be in verses 1 through 17 this morning and talking about a familiar passage about the vine and the branches. And there's just so much jam-packed in these verses that I could probably take 4 weeks on it, but I won't. Yet I believe that we still can get a good overview of some of these important truths. So let me read a portion of the chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As you think about your life, what is it that gives you life and joy? What is it that enables you to do good works and to love someone the right way? Where does that come from? From a secular viewpoint, we have life for mere chance and evolutionary processes. From a secular viewpoint, we have joy just by looking at things differently or by enjoying what matters the most to you. But what about us as Christians? What is it that gives you life and joy? What is it that enables you to bear fruit or to love someone? Is it because you prayed a prayer one time to God? Is it through your own efforts? Is it just by thinking positively and by winning in every area of life? Or maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, I have no idea. Well, this passage shows us a deep yet important truth that I believe we as Christians haven't always fully grasped. You see, many times people think of Christianity as we pray a prayer one time to God for eternal life insurance and that's it. Kind of like I got my ticket to heaven punched. And their view of the Christian life is that Christ is their Savior because they did it when they were a kid and they kind of moved on with life. Like, okay, good, that's taken care of, now let me live how I want. They may think, hey, I walked an aisle one time, isn't that all there really is to it? Maybe they think, oh, Jesus saved me from hell, and that's the extent of it. Do some of these ideas have some truth to them? Of course. But is that the full picture? No. Is there a moment when we trust God and we are forgiven and justified and receive eternal life? Absolutely. So then what's the problem, Pastor Matt, you might say? Well, we need to understand that not everyone who says they believe truly believes in Jesus Christ. We need to understand that being a disciple of Jesus actually involves obedience. Really, discipleship is more than one moment, but it's a life of following the Lord. Now, this isn't work salvation, I'll show why later, but in these verses, Jesus tells us what a relationship looks like between him and a true disciple. He shows us signs of a true disciple and the benefits of being a true disciple. Really, he gives us a fuller picture of what it looks like to be a genuine, real disciple of his. First, let's tackle the relationship of a true disciple of Jesus. So have you ever filled out one of those forms and it says, what is your relationship to the applicant? Well, what would you write if it inquired about your relationship to Jesus? So often people view Jesus as kind of like this distant person who they one time interacted with to be saved. But is that the full picture of the Bible? As you look through this passage, one word pops out. It continues to be said over and over again, and that word is abide. He calls us to abide, or maybe your translation says remain in him. Kind of reminds me of Paul's favorite phrase, in Christ or in him. Abiding in Christ is a central theological truth. It is union with Christ. And in order for us to understand this truth, what Jesus does he uses this agricultural illustration of a vine and its branches. And so that he says that he is the vine and the Father is the vine dresser. Later on, he tells the disciples that they are the branches. So you have a vine dresser, a vine, and the branches. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, Israel was pictured as the vine, but what often characterized them was fruitlessness, bad fruit, not producing fruit. Well, what Jesus says here is he says, I am the true vine. Meaning he perfectly fulfills what Israel should have been and done. Okay, but where does that leave us? We are the branches who are connected to him, the vine. So abiding in Christ looks like abiding abiding in the vine. So think about the characteristics of a branch abiding in the vine. There's connection. There's dependence. Abiding means I'm remaining with Christ, I'm connected to Christ, I am depending on Christ. Consider the opposite of abiding. It's leaving, departing, rejecting, not having a connection at all. So not abiding is this image of a branch saying, I don't need you, vine. So a true believer is someone who abides in Christ. Someone who trusts him, is utterly dependent on him, believes him, and receives from him. They are united with him through the Spirit. Get this, abiding in Christ is what it means to be a Christian. A Christian doesn't just know who Jesus is, but they're intimately connected to him. A believer trusts him with everything and treasures him above all. Think about if a branch could talk. Let's say they could understand the necessity of being connected to that vine. They'd say, I'm here because I need the vine. I receive everything I need from that vine. It's my life because of that vine. I'm able to bear fruit because of that vine. And I am not going anywhere. I'm staying right here and I'm being connected and dependent on this vine. That's what abiding means. Trusting, depending, resting, staying, receiving from Jesus. This is Christianity. This is what it means to be a Christian, to be a believer. Could you describe that as your relationship with Jesus Christ? Abiding in him. Is that your posture? Now we don't do this perfectly, but is that your posture? You must understand that you don't just need Jesus at salvation. We definitely do. But you need him every single day afterwards. You don't ever stop needing him. So here's a question for you that I want you to ponder this morning. If you think about leaving Christ for good, I mean just rejecting him and living without him, what are your thoughts? Are you like Judas? Who would think, I wouldn't mind that. I mean, I could live my life how I wanted. Or do you think, I don't know, I'm kind of in the habit of going of church thing, but once I broke that habit, I think I'd be okay. Or do you think like Peter and you say, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Is it unimaginable for you because Jesus is everything to you? Or is it plausible? That shows the difference between someone who's going to abide and someone who doesn't. Now the question becomes, how do we abide in him? Well, look down at verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. It is because we were chosen and appointed that we are able to abide. It wasn't because we were amazing. It's not because of our good works, but because of His gracious choice. In our sinful depravity, we would never believe. We would have never believed. In our sinful depravity, we would never abide in Him voluntarily. And that means there is absolutely no room for boasting on our part. There is no room for boasting in our ability to abide, but it's all of grace. So we are able to remain with Him because of His choice and appointment, but also by dwelling on His Word. Verse 3 talks about how they are clean because of His Word. We abide in His words. It's His words that help us to abide and actually make us clean. That is, they save us. His Word saves us because His Word leads us to Him. It's His words. So the more we soak in the Word of God, the more we will abide in Him. But why is that? Because the more His words are in our hearts and minds, the more we're going to look like Him and desire more of Him. His Word transforms us. And so since we're connected to Him as like a vine and branch, then His Word is pulsating through that connection and changing us gradually. Is His Word abiding in you? Are you letting it dwell on your heart and mind? Think about this. Are you using this unique time at staying mostly at home as even more time to dive into His precious Word? Are you taking advantage of those times to hear the Word of God preached or sung? Scripture is a big part of our abiding, of our helping us to abide, but also by dwelling on His love. Verse 9 says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." So what propels us to abide in His love? It's remembering and cherishing His love for us. It is only because of His great love for us that we are able to abide in Him. And His love then helps us to abide even more. We ought to remind ourselves of the gospel regularly. How we're sinners, but God sent Jesus out of love, and Christ died out of love for us. He took our place. And after really thinking about that, how can we not abide in Him? How can we not continue to trust, depend, and stay with Him? We're commanded to abide in Christ, but it's really Christ is the one who has done the work of choosing us. His Word cleanses us, it changes us, and His love has been demonstrated to us. And that really enables us to abide. Our relationship to Christ is one of abiding in Him. Could that be said of your relationship to Christ? So what signs then will be seen in someone who abides? And in this passage, you see very clearly the signs of a true disciple. You know, something that is very popular nowadays is a statement, "Who are you to judge me? Only God is my judge." And many times it's used to deflect criticism on the sinful way that they're living. And they act as though, as a Christian, it doesn't matter how they live their life as long as they say they have a relationship to Jesus. But what's interesting in the Bible is that it repeatedly emphasizes that it does matter how we live. Look through Paul's letters. You see lots of statements on living a holy life. Look at Jesus' words. He speaks about it many times. Scripture makes it clear that if you are a true Christian, there will be signs that you are a Christian. Now, of course, these signs do not save you. These signs won't perfectly be displayed in your life, but they will be evidence that you are saved. Jesus' words here in John 15 demonstrate to us that being a Christian, it is this lifelong relationship of dependence on Him that is going to show itself in tangible ways. Look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 16, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Is obedience, fruit, and right living important to God? Absolutely. In fact, we were appointed to bear fruit, and God is glorified in our fruit bearing. A Christian's purpose is not simply to exist and live your life for yourself, but we live for God. We are appointed to good works. God is glorified when we bear this fruit. So we can never say, I can just live how I want, but we say, I live for God. I live for how He wants. And actually, this passage shows us that our fruit proves that we are a disciple. He uses the vine and branches imagery once again to make this point. Those who abide in Him, the vine, bear much fruit. This is why our fruit proves our discipleship. All God has to do is look at our fruit, and it points to our root. Our fruit isn't what saved us, but the fruit is the sign of who we are connected to. And so that's why it talked about the Father taking away branches, throwing them in the fire and burning them, because they didn't bear any fruit. No fruit. You know, growing up, we had a lot of trees in our yard, and over time, dead branches would fall to the ground, and we would pick them up and throw them in the burn pile, and what good were those branches? They were dead. They're no use. They don't have any life in them. They won't grow. They're not going to produce anything, but we're just going to take them away. And that's a picture of what Christ is saying here. These branches are branches that weren't truly a part of the vine. Like Judas, they looked like they were a part of the vine, but they were never really connected to the vine. You can look like you belong to Christ and not belong to Christ. They're simply dead branches without fruit that have not been connected to the vine. Like 2 Timothy 3:5 talks about how they have the appearance of godliness but deny its power. The true disciple abides in Jesus, and therefore they will produce fruit. But it's not like these branches that bore fruit were anything special in themselves. Because he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If this isn't the nail in the coffin of work salvation, I don't know what is. We can do nothing good without Him. We can't bear fruit without Him. It is only by abiding, trusting, resting in Him that we're enabled and empowered to bear fruit. So we can never say, look at everything I did. But we can only say, everything I did because of Him. The branch can only bear fruit because it is connected to the vine. Without the vine, we are lifeless, fruitless, and powerless. Christ gets the glory because He really is the one who empowered us to bear fruit. And then when we bear fruit, God gets the glory. So really, God gets the glory from beginning to end. As we saw, we bear fruit because of abiding in Christ, but also we bear more fruit because of the Father's pruning. So there's two ways that we bear fruit. We bear fruit by sap flowing and vine dresser pruning. We bear fruit because of our connection to Christ empowering us, but also by God's gracious working in our lives. God is the Father is the vine dresser who prunes the branches that bear fruit. And guess what? Pruning involves pain. But the vine dresser's purpose is loving. His motivation is good. Pruning is that act of cutting snippets of parts off the branch that can be more fruitful. And sometimes God has to cut away things in our lives so that we can grow. In the trials and circumstances of life, God is pruning. That is, he is sanctifying us to be more like his precious son. So that anger that rises up in you, God, he wants to snip that away. And sometimes it's through a painful experience that that anger is cut off. The process of pruning hurts. But the result is more and more fruit. The result is a beautiful, healthy, fruit-bearing branch, and not an ugly, unhealthy, and overgrown branch. So as we face trials in life, they will hurt. But we look to the end result. And we look to the vine dresser's righteous motivation and gracious love. He's doing this for a purpose. And it's a good purpose. And really, it's out of love. So what is God doing in you during this hard time of going through a pandemic? Don't resist the pruning. But look at how it's molding you, shaping you to look more like Christ. Vineyards need constant cultivation, and God is constantly working in our lives. So because we are abiding in Jesus, then fruit and obedience will be produced. Reflect upon your life deeply. Is there any fruit seen in your life? Is there obedience to his word? Is there a life lived that looks anything like Christ? This won't be seen perfectly, but there should be some evidence present. According to the Bible, if there is no fruit, then you should seriously consider if you're abiding in Christ, if you trust Christ. You see, to be a Christian is not merely I walked an aisle one time in my past and my life never changed and I don't continue to trust him now. But fruit bearing is the identifying mark of a true believer. And if you don't see any fruit, I say repent of your sins, turn to Christ and trust in him. He is there with open arms. He's ready to forgive and he's ready to give life and eventually fruit in your life. And what's a prime example of this fruit is our love for one another. Because Christ is love. He is full of love. And that means if we abide in him, his love is going to show out through us. And that's why you see his commands in verses 12 through 17 commanding us to love one another. He laid his life down for us, his friends, and there is no greater love at the cross. His life was laid for us. And get this, he calls us friends. We aren't merely servants, but friends. Though right now you may feel alone, you are not alone because there is no greater friend than Jesus who is with you and who he laid his life down for you. Now this doesn't mean we're on equal standing as Jesus, for he even tells us, you are my friends if you do what I command you. Nevertheless, we are his friends because servants only know commands, but friends know the plans and thinking behind it all. He has revealed to us what he heard from the Father. That is a privilege. That is an honor. If you ever get this inkling that God is just merely this taskmaster, remember this graciousness in revealing so much to you through his word. He could have left us in the dark and simply told us to do this and that, but as a friend, he revealed what he was doing. So our love for others comes from Christ's love for us. We are abiding in him, and so his love seeps through that connection to us and then is seen in our lives. So in what ways are you loving one another? Did you know that even during a pandemic, you can love one another? Now, of course, you have to keep your distance, but there's tons of creative ways to love each other. Send cards, pray for them, give them calls, see if they need anything from the grocery store. Depending on your finances, help in some way in that way. The list could go on. People are lonely. People are anxious. People are struggling. And they need to be loved by you in specific ways. Love them as Christ loved you. That means our love should be sacrificial. So there are signs that we are a true disciple, and it involves our fruit, obedience, and love. You don't get better at these things merely by your own efforts, but abiding in Christ more. So go to Christ. Depend on Him. Get to know Him in His Word. And over time, you will slowly start to look like more and more like Christ. So the relationship of a genuine disciple of Christ is abiding. There are signs of this in our fruit, and there are benefits of being a true disciple of Jesus. So as you think about abiding in Christ, what difference does it make in our lives? Certainly, as we found out just now, that fruit is, of course, seen in our lives. But what other things come to us because of our union to Jesus Christ? Again, go back to that vine and branches imagery. Blessings come to us through our connection to Him, because we are in Him. So because He lives, we live. We receive eternal life because of our abiding in Him. As sap flows through a vine to the branch, so Jesus' life flows through Him to us. But also we receive answered requests. So since we're remaining in Him, then our requests should more and more line up with His will and desires. And so that's why He says He will answer those requests. Because the more we abide in Him, the more our prayer life is changed to reflect His desires. So we receive life, we receive answered requests, and also joy. In verse 11, He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Our obedience and fruit bearing isn't a life of drudgery, but joy. Abiding in Christ doesn't lead to a lame life of joylessness, but a life full of joy. Now, I'd say that's a great benefit of abiding in Christ. We get His joy, full joy. Is your life lacking some joy? Abide in Him more. Lacking joy, get to know Him more in His Word. Depend on Him. Be shaped by Him. You'll see His joy and how He responds to trials. You'll see how for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. You'll see His joy in serving and loving others, and that same joy can be yours. We receive His joy the more we abide in Him and trust in Him, depend, look, dwell on His words. And so as we consider this ever-important passage, it shows us that we should abide in Christ, the true source of life, love, joy, and fruit. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, please do so today. We're all sinners, and the wrath of God is against sin. But through Jesus' work on the cross, He is the way to be saved from that wrath. And so we're called to repent of our sins, turn and trust in Christ, and you will be saved. And so once we place our faith in Him, we are united to Him, and we receive all the benefits of being in Him as we saw today. If you would say today that you're a Christian, do you abide in Him? Now, have you ever had a bad connection on your phone? What does your phone connection depend on? How close you are to a cell phone tower. So if I have 4 bars and you have 1 bar, it means that I'm closer to the tower than you are. We both have connection to the tower, but I'm going to get a better, clearer signal because I'm closer to the tower. And so likewise, all true Christians will abide in Christ, but there are degrees of abiding. The more you abide in Christ, the more you will fully experience the benefits of being connected to Him. You will be more fruitful, more joyous, more loving, essentially more like Him. This isn't mere human effort, but by simply abiding in Him. So as you face this pandemic, are you continuing to abide in Christ? Use this very unique and rare time in your life as an even greater time to depend on Him more greatly, lean on Him more heavily, rest in Him more soundly, and trust in Him more fully. And the more you do that, the more your fruit will abound, and the more your joy will be full. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, you are the vine dresser. And you prune us so that we would bear more fruit. And you have sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and he is the vine. And when we place our faith in him, we are the branches. And we depend on him for everything. And I pray that you would help us depend on him even more so today. In Christ's name, amen.